Welcome to the Calvary Chapel South Bay Sermon Podcast. We are a large, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church in Los Angeles, California, and we'd love to have you visit us for a service if you're in the LA area. Visit ccsouthbay.org to learn more about us and to find out service times. If you have any questions, shoot us an email at hello@ccsouthbay.org. Enjoy today's sermon, and we hope to see you at church soon.
So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, we're going to be looking at a famous passage most of you know about. And I don't know about you, but after Easter, my heart was stirred. What happened after Easter? So I started going through the book of Acts and landed here at Acts chapter 3. Tonight's study is called Need Some Change. Everyone say that. Need some change, right? So we are going to be talking about a beggar. Specifically someone who was dependent on others. And as he was dependent on others, he had needs. And tonight, you may be coming here today, and you got some needs. And maybe some of those needs are to change. Well, tonight I pray, as we hear the story of a lame man who was approached by Peter and John, that something miraculous happens. And I don't know where you're at, but maybe tonight you're praying for a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. He's in charge of miracles. So I don't need to fret. I don't need to worry. I don't need anxious. I'm going to wait on God. So as we look at Acts chapter 3, we're going to go all the way to verse 16. I'm going to read this with some side notes and then go on from there. Verse 1 says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer," which is the ninth hour. This is about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful." Everyone say beautiful. Beautiful. All right. "To ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.'" Míranos in Espanol, right? Am I right? Míranos. Everyone say, míranos, right? That means look at us. So totally, I'm trying to bring some Spanish up in here and everything we do. Okay. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately," everyone say immediately, "his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking around and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Verse 11. "Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it," check this out, "he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go.'" Verse 14, "But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." Here we go. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of all." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Such a beautiful picture of what Jesus does. And I love this. It's the name of Jesus. It's the power that's in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, it was a common name. And I love how God takes things that are common and makes it supernatural. How God can take your ordinary, average life and set it on fire, like Team Mexico. Where you at, Team Mexico, right? And I love this. They just showed up for a meeting. and God does something. That's the power of the name of Jesus. As we look at these passages today, I pray that God would show you something special, something miraculous, something maybe you've never seen. And for some of you who've grown up in the church, you've probably read this story a dozen times, half a dozen times. I pray tonight God would show you not just something different, something life-changing. The same thing that happened to this lame man. As it goes on, hey, we talked about Peter and John were there at the temple praying at 3 p.m., verse 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who enter the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, ask for alms. So this lame man, he was born in this condition. The inability to use his legs, his feet, he's unable to walk. And every day, it says, they lay daily, every day. Daily means every day. He was dependent on people to carry him and put him by this gate. It's not mentioned who, friends, relatives, other people who were begging, but it happened. And where? The gate that's called Beautiful. The interesting thing about this gate, it's made of Corinthian brass, 75 feet high. It was the most beautiful gate. That's why it was called Beautiful, right? You guys are so smart. You must have went to public school, okay? So I realize here, what a smart dude. If you're going to go anywhere in this area, go to the place that's most traveled. It was a walkway. Everybody passed through there because the gate was called Beautiful. I'd like to say it was probably even a tourist spot, right? People were taking selfies by the Beautiful Gate, right? Could you imagine? And he plops himself right there. He was asking for alms, which means he was a professional beggar. That's what he did for a living, right? That whole idea, alms, A-L-M-S, if you translate it, it means mercy, kindness, giving to the poor. In the original sense, it's saying that when you give alms, you're dispensing mercy. When you give alms, you are caring for the needs of others. And this man deserved or received the mercy of others. During that time, remember, keep in mind, if they were unable to work, they had to sustain themselves. And the only way they could sustain themselves is by begging, right? They were unable to work. And most of the time, it was because they have a physical limitation. There was no other option for this lame man but to ask for alms. And I'm sure he realized there's no other way to live except for asking alms. Alms for the poor, alms. And he had a little container and some chump change there, and this is what he did all day. Could you imagine your life? The same thing, minute after minute, hour after hour, day after day. Alms for the poor. Please, por favor, alms. Here it goes, and the coin just came out, right? Alms for the poor, right? Imagine that's your life. Tonight, you might feel like that. Same thing, same people, over and over again, and no change. I think we have a lot more common with this lame man than we venture to say. Let's move forward. It says, but God had something better in mind. I love that. Jesus, through the name of Jesus, wanted to completely change his condition. Verse 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, they say, look at us. So he gave his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And I'm sure many people have passed this beggar all day. And the key is, when you make eye contact, you can't not take back that eye contact, correct? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Your local Albertsons, you got the kid with the candy, right? Don't make eye contact, you made eye contact. Excuse me, sir. We're trying to raise funds for, or what about those Girl Scout cookies, right? Is it the Samoas and the Thin Mints, right? You're like, I'm not. Hi, how are you, right? Eye contact, very, very important in our humanity. When someone gives me eye contact, that means they're going to give me attention. They're going to give me their time. It's a great quality to have as far as communication, isn't it? How many of you, you're sharing your heart with someone? Well, last night and this happened. They're like, picking out the lint out of their belly button. You know what I mean? No one wants to, right? You want eye contact. And I think I say this because there's something that happens when people meet eye to eye, isn't it? Imagine John and Peter on their way to a prayer meeting, like they did every day, three times a day, morning, noon, right? Afternoon and evening. And God put in their heart, this time, we're going to make eye contact with this lame man. Remember, he was laid there daily, and I'm sure for years. I'm sure Peter and John have seen him before. He didn't move. They passed by. I venture to say even Jesus was there and saw him. And could you imagine Jesus with all the disciples following? He sees this lame man, and he looks, my son, it's not time yet, but your day will come. Church, maybe it's not time yet, but your day will come. That's up to God. That's up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when he answers that prayer. And if you are here tonight and you've been praying for something, Jesus looks, not yet, but you'll know when that prayer has been answered. And I love this because I understand here, Jesus didn't heal everyone. If you go to John chapter 5, the pool of Bethesda, he goes there, and there was a man of an infirmity of 38 years, and the whole deal was there would be an angel that stirs the water, and whoever jumps in first gets healed. And each time this man would be the last one there. Well, not today. Jesus went specifically to the pool of Bethesda for this one man who had an infirmity for 38 years. I don't know why. I don't know why God doesn't heal everyone. But I know God hears. I know God answers prayers, and sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. But I do know this, my God hears. And healing is not from my perspective. Healing is from God's perspective. Anyone here pray for someone with a terminal illness? God, please heal them. Please heal them. God, you love them. I know you do. And they pass away. God did heal them, just not in the way you want. Church, we live according to the standards and the commandments of God, not our own. The Lord gives and he takes away. And so with that in mind, what's happening here is that the disciples or the apostles, Peter and John, number one, they noticed the need. They fixed their eyes and said, look at us. So the man, the lame man, he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them, right? The lame man made eye contact. And it's almost like as soon as they looked at him, he saw he was looked upon. He says, they saw me. And I'm sure he stretched out his hand with his little cup with some change in there, thinking, there it goes again. I don't know. Maybe it's supposed to be for somebody here. I don't know. 10 cents, right? And he makes eye contact with them. And I don't know what that looked like. I don't know if it was like he saw, oh, here's a good gift. I know these brothers here want to do a good deed, right? There it goes again, right? Let me just do that. All right, there we go. Just put one. All right. So as he's doing this, he probably is looking at them. And he probably, and I don't know, anyone here have like puppy dog eyes? Like, oh, right? You just look at them, you melt, right? Or maybe here just having this little cup is what's attracting them. Oh, pobrecito, poor baby, right? What is he trying to convey? Nonverbal communication, whether it's a cup with some change, whether it's some puppy dog eyes, maybe it's a sigh, right? That can be translated a couple of different ways, right? Anyone have kids? Anybody have kids, right? When you ask them to do something, you all know what I'm talking about, right? And they give you this look. Oh, did you just sigh right now? I hope it was not a sigh because you're about to see the back of my head, right? You know, like, no, right? That sigh, right? That's loaded, isn't it? Remember, nonverbal communication, right? So I want you to think about this. When God says, wait, do you sigh? Oh. When God says, when you say, God, gimme, 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 silver and gold, I don't got. What is your reaction when God responds one way? He stretched out his hand. Peter and John noticed the need. Family, we need to notice the need. Peter and John had been with Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, he met a need, whether it was physical, whether it was spiritual, whether he cast out a demon or caused the blind to see, Jesus met the need and he noticed. There are some of you here today, you notice the smallest thing, don't you, right? When you walk in the room, you scope it out. It's like, oh, that painting is a little off. Anyone ever do that, right? You're a little OCD if you do that, right? You know, like, you know who you are, right? You notice things. Jesus noticed people. And I think we can learn something from Peter and John. We can learn something from Jesus. He noticed the need. Am I so preoccupied with my schedule and my errands and my time that I don't see the need? Am I too involved in the things that are happening next week? Am I concerned with my bills that I miss the needs that are right before me? Are you aware around you? The people that you pass by, the friends that you sit in class with, the coworker that you share a cubicle with, those that live in your house. Are you missing out on the miracles because you're just way too busy and you're not meeting the need? You could be on your way to church, to a prayer meeting, and there is a little holy interruption in your schedule. The gentleman at the gas station who says, hey, I'm down on my luck, and you're like, yo, I got church at 7 o'clock. You got a minute. Give me your story, right? I say this in truth because we have our time. Anyone here have me time? Anyone here got me time, right? When you got kids, you got no me time. All right, let me just tell you, right? We don't like it when people interrupt in our me time. I'll share a funny story. I went, I had some errands yesterday, so I got a little breakfast at, ever been Clutch and Coffee? Ever been there, Clutch and Coffee in Torrance? So I go, I get a little something. I'm studying for another study yesterday, and I'm there, and you know the times you're like, just want to be super focused? And then there's a couple here, and if you're watching, because I invited them to church, looking for a church, Sam and Stacy, what's up, right? So I, hopefully you're watching, right? And they said, oh, is that Eggs Benedict good? I was like, oh, yeah, very cool, right? And we engage in this conversation. She used to attend here many years ago when Pastor C was here. Super cool. But could you imagine? She said, are those Eggs Benedict good? Yeah, they're good. All right. Right? Because I got my plan. Don't you know I got to teach a devotion at 12:30 and it's already 10 o'clock? Like, think of how you operate as a believer. Are you missing out on the miracles because you're so busy in your life? What's the atmosphere in your home? Is there tension? Is there chaos? Are your kids crying out? In your workplace, what is the environment like? That coworker, you shoot the breeze. Hey, you see the game last night? That small talk. Can I just tell you, behind that small talk are probably some big issues. They're probably hurting, probably discouraged. We are surrounded by living souls that will live forever. Let me tell you this. You and I are surrounded by living souls that will live forever. You have an opportunity to give them Jesus and salvation. So church, what are you waiting for? Right? And as I think about this, I think, God, you want us to engage in our world. Impart life. Bring light into darkness. See, this lame man was expecting something in return. He made eye contact. They made eye contact back. He held out his cup. And when I think about this, I think about the simple fact that God desires us to do more than give some change. Could you imagine the story? They made eye contact. Peter and John's, I got a couple change here. Yeah, hold that, hold it at your cup. Yeah, let me put it. Okay, that's a little bit more. All right, cool. You good? All right, later. I'm going to go to the prayer meeting. Imagine that. Imagine that played out that way. We would not have verses 6, 7, 8, and 9 where he's healed and there's a miracle. Could you be the one that's preventing from seeing miracles? I wonder. This is it. This is what it says. It says, well, simply here, Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Offer the opportunity. When you notice the need, make the opportunity known. And sometimes it is a salvation. Sometimes it's prayer. Sometimes, hey, I see you have a flat tire. Let me help you. Whatever that is, offer an opportunity for Jesus to be seen. Peter and John, they didn't have any money. It wasn't cash and coins. What this man needed was a revolution in his life. And we miss the revolution when we withhold what God has given to us. Peter and John had experienced this. If you look back at Luke chapter 9, Jesus, remember, he sent out the disciples two by two. Don't take anything with you. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Peter and John, they know what to do. They've been trained by Jesus. And I love this, that they saw the needs of the man. Can you imagine hearing that? Silver and gold we don't have, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. I'm sure this lame man, I don't need Jesus. I don't need rise up and walk. I need some change so I can get something to eat, so I can get a cup of coffee, right? It was almost like, wait, you don't care about me. You're going to say Jesus this, but you're not going to provide for my needs? Look at me. Look at the mess I'm in. I'm almost sure he's like, hold up. Wait a minute. You make eye contact. You connect with me, and you got nothing for me? Have you ever said this to God? I know you're here, God. I know you see me. I know you hear me, but nothing? I'm still in the same situation. Nothing has changed. God, I'm praying and you're not giving me what I want, but you offer me something else. I don't get it, God. I don't see what you're doing in my life. I'm still in the same spot. That's not going to help me. When I first got out of college, I worked for a company named Xerox. Anyone know what Xerox is? A copy company in El Segundo. I was part of the marketing team. I traveled, do all this stuff. In business, and I got to hand it to those that are in business, right? It's a cutthroat business, right? Like when the project goes great, everyone wants credit for it. When the project goes bad, no one wants to take credit for it, right? And so it was a very, what we call today, toxic, right? Unhealthy environment. Can I just say, when it's toxic, it just means it's sinful. Toxic ain't something new. It's from the Bible times, right? So when you are in a toxic, unhealthy situation, it just means that sin is present. Sometimes we try to put these names and labels on things when last time I checked, that was Genesis, the first sin, Adam and Eve. That was toxic. So don't come up and say, I got a new term for this. Hey, the Bible says nothing new under the sun. So church, let's just be real about what God is doing. And in this, I love this. I was working there. It was a tough situation. And I began to pray, Lord, I don't like this anymore. Anyone been like that? I don't like the way this is going. I don't like the people. And God didn't do anything. So I thought, and I was in his word, he revealed to me this verse. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8. Can we read this together? Because I think somebody needs to hear this. 1, 2, 3. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Literally, ding, light bulb. God didn't want to change my difficult situation. He wanted to change the difficult person. And that difficult person was me. Sometimes we're asking God, change this, change that. And God's all, no, I need to change you first. And you know what began to happen? I just didn't see coworkers that were mean or vindictive. I saw people who were lost. And I began to share Jesus. I began to be light in the midst of darkness. And you know what started happening? As I was changing, they were changing. And a few months later, God opened the door to do something else. Sometimes you are a seasonal worker in your job site till you get the job done and God's going to move you on. As I think about this, I want to be a believer who understands my role. The role of the church is to offer the gospel so that people of the world can become children of God. That's your role. Your role is that as you offer the gospel, as you give out who Jesus is, they would come to know him. Peter said, I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but what I have in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What I do have, I give you. Peter was like, I'm going to give you what I got. And his name is Jesus. And whether you want to receive him or not, I can't give what I don't got. If you want to speak the word, you got to read the word. If you want to serve the Lord, you got to hear his voice. If you want to share his love, you need to obey the Spirit. This is the offer, this is the opportunity. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There is power in the name of Jesus. He's mighty, he's omnipotent, he's all powerful. We call on the name of Jesus because he has the power to save, to redeem us from the depths of our sin, to forgive us, to cleanse our hearts, to heal our bodies. This is our Jesus, to restore our paralyzed life, to remove bitterness from those areas of our life where there's unforgiveness, to equip us for every good work. This is our Jesus. And as I think about it, Jesus more than a great teacher. He's more than a holy prophet. He's more than someone who transforms lives. Jesus is a savior of sinners. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I get an amen, right? Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Anyone. As believers, we need to offer the opportunity of Jesus to people. He's saving, healing power that resides in the person of Jesus Christ. Family, when you're looking for a change, not some spare change, you all need a life change, right? And often we want this, and God wants to fill your cup with something else. Peace, love, forgiveness, purpose. When he took him by the right hand, verse 7, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This is written from Luke. He's given some medical terminology. His feet and his ankle bones, it was maybe disjointed, disconnected. I don't know what, but it came back together. The name of Jesus mended this man's leg, feet, all of it. It's a flat-out miracle. When we come in contact with the Word of God, let's expect the unexpected. Because that's who Jesus is. That's really who he is. A miracle is humanly impossible, but divinely simple. A miracle is when God decides to supersede natural law with his own law. Which for us is like, wow, right? I can't believe God did that. And whether it be a healing or provision, whatever that is, but for God, it's easy. When Jesus was healing people, there was no stress. When Jesus was casting out demons, there was no battle because God is over all. And God gave Peter the supernatural ability to trust him for something completely out of the ordinary. Peter didn't have it, but the name of Jesus had it. And when we have the name of Jesus, A wall has come tumbling down. People are touched. People are healed. Strength did not come to the lame man until Peter said, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. Can I say this? The right hand is a right hand in the Bible. The righteous right hand, it's of authority. It's of power. It's something that only God can impose on someone. So when Peter was saying this, it wasn't him. Church, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, who is so much greater than our ability, our intellect, our experience. And Jeremiah says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Don't let the strong man boast in his strength, but let him boast in this, that he knows God. May that be your superpower. And that superpower is the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we can tap into that and rely upon that, we won't be fearful. That hand of authority. I don't know why I put this in here, but maybe this is for someone today. When I started thinking about the righteous right hand of God, it says, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The lameness had authority over this man. It defined him since birth, but not no more. As we're going to read, he's no longer going to be a lame man. The lame man, he wanted a change, but he had to make a decision to be lifted up. Peter and John did not give him a handout, but a help up. As we look at that real simply there, as Peter and John were there, and he took him by the right hand, verse 7, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. As you and I understand this flat-out miracle, we have to be reminded of what God has done in our life. Isn't salvation a miracle? Isn't something beyond you? Amen, right? Isn't salvation and the simple fact that you have breath in your lungs, right? That your heart is beating, that you can do nothing less than praise him. Verse 8. So he, leaping up and stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. As soon as he was healed, the formerly lame man did a couple things. He began to use what God gave him. He began to walk. As soon as God gives you something, use it. Use it for his kingdom. He was walking around, yo, what are these things called? Legs? Okay, yeah, let me use them. Let me show people who saw me sitting by the beautiful gate that I'm using my legs now. But not only that, he began to praise and worship God. There's something that happens when we praise him, right? There's something earlier as we're singing. What's that one song? Praise, praise the Lord, right? We've been singing these songs. If you're having a bad day, praise him. Psalm 150. Can everyone turn to Psalm 150? I think we're supposed to read this. Psalm 150. It's the last psalm. It's between Psalm 149 and Psalm 151. Okay? So, I know. Psalm 150, right? I think, you know what? We're going to read this together because I think we need to praise him. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're walking through, but I think praise is the antidote. Praise is the cure. Praise is if you are walking through a valley, a shadow of death. Praise is when you're in the midst of a storm. Praise is what's going to help us. Are we there? Psalm 150. It doesn't matter which version you have, but we're going to read this out loud and proud. Can we do that, church? Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to think about this. This once lame man is walking around and praising the Lord. And they're all like, yo, wasn't this the guy that was by, didn't he have this one of these things? And yeah, like, how did that happen? Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus. But I'll tell you this. If we go back to Acts chapter 3, verse 1. As I was going through this, I noticed something specific. How did all this happen? Verse 1, real simply says, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Peter and John were just going about their normal everyday business, going to the temple to pray. They weren't helping a woman cross the street. They weren't feeding the homeless. They were just going to pray, which they always did. Peter and John were doing their custom. The Lord interrupted them before the prayer meeting. God showed up and told them, notice the need. Hey, offer the opportunity, offer Jesus. And he called them to help. And there was a healing. Change happens when we do what God has called us to do. It's not in the highest valleys. It's in the everyday mundane things. If you're here tonight and you're struggling in reading the Bible, la palabra de Dios, right? The word of God. If you're having, see, I told you I'm going to keep using Spanish the whole time, right? So if you're having trouble reading the Bible, let me encourage you, start small. Start with a verse. Start with two verses. Don't say, tomorrow I'm going to read for 5 hours. I'm going to read through the whole Old Testament. You will fail and you'll be discouraged. Start small. But as you start small, I want you to understand this. You might read Friday. It was all right. Saturday. It was okay. Sunday. It was okay. And you go on through the week and it's 6 days. Like, I got nothing left. I don't understand God, especially with the genealogy. He begat and she this and that, right? It's like, what's the meaning? When I purpose to read the Bible every day and make a choice to get up early, to journal, to write down, and nothing speaks, there may be 6 days of not getting anything, but tell you, on the seventh day, there's about the breakthrough that's going to happen. And if you stopped, you miss out. Keep in mind, Peter and John, they kept going to the temple every day. This was an out-of-ordinary experience. Change happens on the seventh day. Change happens when my heart is changed. When I'm in the Word of God, He convicts me by His Spirit. When I'm in the Word of God and He reveals something I did not know before. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest. Galatians 6:9 says, keep at it. God will speak. Don't give up. And if you're here tonight and you get discouraged because you're not reading the Bible as much, read the same verse over and over. The Bible says meditate on the word day and night. Get it in you. And when it's time to come out, it's going to come out. Let the Holy Spirit do His work in you. The final thing, we read about this. Not only are you going to notice the need, not only are you going to offer the opportunity of Jesus Christ, stand for the Savior. This last part, we read through it, right? Let me just read this. So when Peter saw everyone was, there was commotion over this lame man. He responded to the people and said, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us as though it was our own power and godliness? We had made this man walk. He basically goes on and he says, hey, it's all about the powerful name of Jesus. That Jesus that you rejected, that Jesus that you despised, that Jesus that you delivered up, that Jesus that you didn't want to have anything to do with. Peter preaches it, whether favorable or unfavorable. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve, God or the God of your fathers on the other side of the river. Choose this day who you will serve. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand within the evil day and having done all to stand. if we keep doing what God's called us to do, be in his word, keep coming to church, be in prayer, right? Daily devotions, and I say devotions not just reading your Bible, but communicating with God, will provide you, will prepare you for divine discussions. Remember, you can't give what you don't got. So as you have the word of God in you, you'll be able to say, silver and gold I don't have, but I have the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. It's got to happen here. I love coming to church. I love hearing the word of God. But you know what? God wants some me time with you. This is great. Don't get me wrong. But he's looking for that me time with you. What's preventing you from that? Is that your crazy schedule? Is it the things that have been going on? Noah stood. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego stood in the fire. Esther stood, Daniel stood. We have a list of men and women who stood for God. Let's be part of that. People who stand up for God. So when people say, what happened? Jesus. Wait, I thought the diagnosis was this. The doctor was like, Jesus. I thought you were low on your bills. Jesus. Is there any other name that's worth anything? So tonight, I think it's important for us to understand that something happened to this man. And I want to just focus on and end on verse 9. In verse 9, we read, so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. God. There is a radical transformation in this man. An unbelievable miracle. His identity has been changed. We sang it, right? Graves to gardens, ashes to beauty. Something has happened to this man. He was no longer the man lying by the beautiful gate, alms for the poor. Anybody make eye contact with me? Some of y'all making eye contact with me, right? Actually, I'm the only one you should be looking at, right? I'm the only one, right? Year after year, waiting, hoping, someone give me more than 10 cents. Somebody give me more than a dollar. And Peter and John come, and they say, this is not what you need. You need something better than some chump change. You need something more than what the world can offer you. You need something more than what you even want. They said, I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you what you need. And his name is Jesus. And Peter took him by the right hand, took him by that righteous right hand, that right hand of authority, and pulled him up. And he was walking around praising God. Anyone here needs some change? I'm talking about not coins, not cash. Maybe you need some change in your life. And because you've been so busy, you've been preoccupied, you don't have this testimony of praising and leaping and hallelujah, right? You can't do that because you're still waiting on your change. And God is saying, I'm right here. Let me pick you up. But I'm going to have to tell you this. This lame man had to trust, had to humble himself. Remember, Peter picks him up, but he had to have some effort too. Imagine this. He's never walked before. What does that feel like? What does it feel like to use legs? What does it mean? Like, it's totally brand new. You might be here tonight and you have the inability to move. You're stuck. You haven't let go of the past. You're still harboring bitterness and a grudge. You still can't forgive how you were raised. And God's saying, rise up and walk. It's time. And you're holding out your cup, relationship after relationship after relationship, and guess what? It's still empty. And God has been saying, what you need is me. Peter and John, ordinary men who had been with Jesus. Tonight, I pray you expect the unexpected. I pray that you cry out tonight and say, Jesus, I need you more than ever. I pray that you realize I don't need cash, I need a change in my life. And that change comes from the Holy One, the Mighty One. There's power in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we come tonight because we know there's no other name by which we are saved. And you said if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, we shall be saved. So God, we don't just need saving in our salvation. We need saving from ourselves, from our addictions, from our habits, from people, God. In Psalm 40, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the miry pits and gave me a firm place to stand and put a new song in my mouth. God, put a new song in our mouth tonight, God. We're tired of singing the same old song. Give us a firm place to stand tonight. And tonight, before we close, if you are like this lame man and you haven't been able to walk like you should be walking, it's time to rise up. It's time to stand up. It's time to say, God, I need some change in my life. And the only way that's going to happen is if I continue to call out to you. In the Psalms, it says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard his prayer and saved him out of his troubles. God, there's a lot of us that are in trouble right now, and we need you to save us. If you're here tonight, and you love Jesus, but you're just in a mess, and there hasn't been change, and you've been trying and trying by the side of the road, and no results, it's time to call out to Jesus. If you're here tonight, you realize I need to be healed. I need to be healed by the miracle worker. It's time to rise up.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you have any questions or just want to check us out, make sure to visit us at ccsouthbay.org. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next week.